In case you're going to wonder here in just a second why I introduced myself again when I did it like 30 seconds ago, I have to do this for our stream stuff and everything. So, good morning, everyone. My name is Brandon. I'm one of the pastors here at Legacy. Whether you're joining us on the screen or in the sanctuary, we are still very glad you decided to spend a part of your May Sunday here with us. If you're joining us on the screen, we're going to celebrate communion shortly. Be sure you've got some bread and grape juice handy so you can participate with us. So, in this series, we have been looking at finding peace of mind. Peace of mind that comes from beyond our circumstances, beyond our given feelings. Peace of mind that comes from our connection, our relationship from God. Something that comes from far beyond our circumstances or feeling in a given situation. Now, we've received all kinds of feedback from you on this series. We've modified it from another church who've done all the heavy lifting for us. And to say that we've gotten the most feedback in this series than we've gotten in a long time is accurate. I mean, clearly there has been a need here. The Holy Spirit's been speaking and moving to you all, and it is so exciting and encouraging to hear all the hope that you've gotten, the challenge, the encouragement to keep seeking healing for your mental health. It truly is a joy to do what we get to do. Now today, we're going to attack one of the harder subjects that we've got to in this series. Today, we're going to talk about trauma. Now, it's quite likely the majority of us have experienced some kind of trauma in our lives. It was a trial of some kind. It might have been abuse, could have been some form of heartbreak. Now, we not only need God's help as we deal with trauma, but we need trusted professionals and experts as we process it. First, we need to clarify what exactly trauma is. Now, so often when we think of trauma, we think of the event, we think of the injury, we think of the abuse that happens to us as the trauma. It's not. This is the definition of trauma. Trauma is the response. Trauma is the response to a deeply disturbing or distressing event. It is the response of the event that is called trauma. Now, we often think of trauma resulting from a physical injury, some kind of a traumatic event, and it can be that, but it certainly can also be emotional trauma. It can be mental trauma also. Trauma can be spiritual abuse, and spiritual trauma inflicted by some of the people we trust the most to care for us and the most carefully guarded parts of ourselves. It's incredibly important to remember that wounds you cannot see hurt as much, if not more so, than some of our physical injuries. You know what you used to say when you were little, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Unfortunately, the exact opposite is true. Words can hurt us very deeply, sometimes even more so than sticks or stones that may break our bones. Sometimes the wounds you cannot see take even longer to heal than our physical injuries. Now, in the middle of your pain and your trauma, some very well-meaning, some happy Christian, after hearing your story, might quote this verse to you. We know that God works all things together for good, for the ones who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, it is a powerful truth. God taking things that were not our fault, that happened to us, and makes something beautiful, something absolutely beautiful and purposeful to come out of those ashes. Now, we must be careful to not see God as the cause of everything that happens. God is not the cause of everything that happens under the sun. God is not. If God was, God would be the author of all kinds of abuse and harm and evil. That would turn God into a monster, which is not the God we see in Jesus. Just because God can bring something good out of something awful does not mean God caused the awful thing in the first place. Just because God brings good does not mean God brought the bad in the first place into your life. Now, it is true that God brings good from the bad in our lives, but something can be true and someone cannot be ready to hear that truth. Just like Corey shared last week, we can sometimes share biblical truth with others before they're ready, with all the care of a baseball bat. We're trying to get scripture into somebody's life before they're ready to hear it. They're not ready or at that place for it. You know, however you find yourself today, whether you're not dealing with trauma or you're helping somebody else through their own trauma, or you might be in denial of what happened to you, you might not be able to control your emotions, overwhelmed with anxiety, or you're just numbed completely. However you find yourselves today, or maybe even carrying guilt and shame for something somebody else did to you that's totally not your fault, however you find yourselves today, we together go to God through the Holy Spirit as we dive into Scripture and God's Word that is the hope for all of us. Now, as we dig in and deal with our own trauma and those that we love, we've got to resist the very real North Dakotan, highly individualistic impulse to apply this advice. Just get over it, rub dirt in it, it's not that bad, get back up, you're going to be just fine. Any parents, grandparents, any of us ever given that advice before to things that have happened to us? I have received that advice. I confess I have given that advice before. Get up, you're fine. It's just a slight leg break. You'll be okay. Not a big deal. I was weed whacking the yard one day, and I stupidly, as I went to reach for the weed whacker, hit the activator, and I weed whacked my shin. And so I walk back into the house, a bloody mess, and my wife's like, "What'd you do?" I'm like, "I just made a mistake." So I cleaned myself up. I did not rub dirt in it. I used triple antibiotic ointment, got myself cleaned up, and went back at it. Just rub dirt in it, get back up, you'll be fine. We must be very careful to not adopt this attitude when people share what they're dealing with, what they're dealing with in their own lives. We don't just get over trauma. You don't just move past it. You actually have to heal from it with God and with the guidance of professionals who know what they're doing. Just rubbing dirt in your trauma is not a solution. We must also be aware that healing from trauma takes time. It can take significant time. Our physical bodies take time to heal, so do our wounds from trauma. Sometimes it takes a long time of us of loving others, of being there for other people, before you're going to start to see progress and healing in their lives. Now, as we seek to understand trauma, there are three different types we and our loved ones can experience: acute, chronic, and complex. Now, acute trauma is the result of a one-time event. It might have been a car accident. You might have survived a natural disaster. We get some pretty wicked one-time storms here. And in 2016, we had straight-line winds right here, and it peeled back our roof like a sardine can right above us. That is a one-time acute trauma. It could have been a complicated birth, or you might have lost your business during COVID. All that one-time acute trauma. It was horrible, and the response is traumatic. Chronic trauma is a long-term response from a prolonged and repeated event. Every year I've been here, every spring, about this time of the year, all kinds of folks will start talking about the flood of 2011, because that was a traumatic event over a prolonged period of time. People are asking, is it going to happen again? Is the snowpack like it was before? What's happening with the runoff further upstream? It was a traumatic event over many months. In seventh grade, I was bullied for a little bit in middle school, and that is, I was bullied until they found out I was good at math and they needed help with math, so then I had leverage and things changed. But your chronic stuff could be bullying and being bullied in school. You might have experienced racism for the majority of your life. You might have been raised in a home with alcohol or drug abuse or an environment that just never felt safe. You might have been sexually abused multiple times by someone who should have been protecting you, but instead was harming you. All of that, all of those things, that is chronic abuse leading to trauma. Now, last is complex trauma. It's essentially everything that I've talked about, but it's layered, it's overlapping, it's multiple and ongoing events. You're in a home, you're married to someone, and there's this combination of things happening. There's chemical abuse on top of emotional abuse, physical abuse, and maybe even sexual abuse. Now, no matter your level of trauma, it changes you. We are not the same on the other side of it. It changes your entire perspective. It changes how you see people. It changes how you see God. It changes your outlook on life. So resist. Resist that temptation to downplay your trauma, to do the North Dakota thing. It's not a big deal. I'll just rub dirt in it. Say it's not that bad. I don't need to get help. That person's trauma is so much worse than mine. I don't need to do anything. Friends, we don't compare our traumas to each other. We don't compare. We just get the help that we need for what we ourselves are dealing with. Our scripture this morning is the life of Paul. Paul was the man who wrote two-thirds of your New Testament. It's the second half of your Bibles. Paul was an incredible first century church leader who experienced acute, chronic, and complex trauma while doing the work God called him to do. Before Paul followed Jesus, he was a devout Jew who was persecuting Christians so they would be killed. Not exactly the person I'd pick to write the second half of our Bibles, who we still talk about. We still apply his teaching some 2,000 years later. One day, scripture says, Paul is hit by a light from heaven. Don't know what exactly that was, but the only light from heaven I know is lightning. Was Paul hit by lightning that day? At that point, a voice from heaven speaks, and this voice from heaven doesn't speak lovingly, "You are my servant. I love you. I've chosen you." No, God says, "Why are you persecuting me?" God gets down to business. Paul is struck blind. God gives no indication to Paul that he's ever going to be able to see again. But for Paul, God heals his sight after about 3 days. After this healing, Paul becomes a teacher, a missionary, a preacher, an evangelist. He spreads the gospel. He spreads the good news that Jesus has died and rose again all over the Mediterranean. And with that, God rewards Paul with a six-figure salary, a company car, and all of the benefits that Paul can imagine. No, for the rest of Paul's life, he endures prolific abuse, acute, chronic, complex trauma, running for his life over and over and over again. The stories we've got of Paul in our scripture, these are all the places Paul was run out of and had to run to save his life. I'm going to throw a map up for you. All the places he left, city after city, he was either run out by a mob or he had to leave because somebody or some group of people was trying to kill him. That is ongoing trauma, and somehow Paul healed from it. Somehow Paul kept going. He kept going into new cities to do the same thing with the same dangers always at play, risking the same kind of abuse to repeat. So how does Paul heal from this? How does Paul heal from his complex trauma? I think there are three things we can learn from Paul's life that we can apply to ourselves. First, we process the pain of our trauma. Very simply, we acknowledge it. It happened. We can't just put it aside and act like it didn't happen. You don't heal when you ignore the wound. You don't heal when you suppress the wound. You don't heal when you try to forget the wound. You heal when you acknowledge it, when you take it to God, when you process it. You say the words with a trusted person, "I was abused. I was mistreated. I was abandoned." We have a hard time simply acknowledging it because that is vulnerable. That is an incredible level of vulnerability. We feel helpless. We feel like it's better just to ignore it than to process it. It's not. Instead of seeking connection with others where healing is found, we prioritize protection. In our highly individualistic part of the planet, this is a real danger for us. We're just going to ignore it, not connect with anybody else, shove it somewhere, and hope it goes away. It won't. Instead of taking our pain to trusted people, we push trusted people away. We push the very people away who could help us in our healing. We don't heal in isolation. We heal in communities. We heal together with the people of God. We're better together because iron sharpens iron. We confess our faults to each other, and we pray for each other because Scripture says we will be healed. Community matters. Community matters a lot. And if you ignore the pain, guess what? The wound didn't go anywhere. If you ignore the pain, the wound is still there. And then we start going to other places to cope. We go to drugs, alcohol, sex, we use food or work, all of that as a coping mechanism because the wound is still there. There is a better way. There's a better way to process your pain like Paul did. In one little section of his letters, 2 Corinthians, you get a glimpse of Paul's process. We're going to start in 2 Corinthians 11. This is starting in verse 23. This is Paul writing, "I have been imprisoned much more often. I've been beaten more times than I can count. I've faced death many times. I've received the 40 lashes minus one from the Jews five times." 40 minus one is 39. You might be asking yourself, why 39 lashes? This is an oddly specific number. You could die from 39 lashes from a whip. Well, someone would be taken to court, and if you died from 39 lashes, they'd say, oh, he wasn't murdered. He died from a beating, so you're free to go. But if you died from 40 lashes, that would be considered murder, and you'd be thrown in prison. That was the line. That was the law. You could beat somebody within an inch of their life, 39 lashes, but 40, nope, that's a line too far. That is absolutely horrific. That was the practice of the day. Let's keep going. He says, "I was beaten with rods three times. I was stoned once. I was shipwrecked three times. I spent a day and a night on the open sea. I've been on many journeys. I faced dangers from rivers, robbers, my people, and Gentiles." Gentiles would be everybody else. "I faced dangers in the city, in the desert, on the sea, and from false brothers and sisters. I faced these dangers with hard work and heavy labor. Many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often without food, and in the cold without enough clothes. Besides all the other things I could mention, there's my daily stress because I'm concerned about all the other churches." Who wants to sign up for this? So much trauma. If you've ever hurt so deeply that you didn't know if you could wanted to go on, this guy who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament also felt that way at different times. He wrote in a different place, "We were weighed down with a load of suffering that was so far beyond our strength, we felt like we might not be able to survive. We felt like we might not be able to survive. I don't think we can continue on." So what does he do? What does Paul do? He talks about it. He writes about it. He's processing it. You need to do the same. Find a safe place, the right place with the right people to process the pain of your trauma. For many of us, that's going to be professionals like we've listed on the screen. As Corey mentioned a couple weeks ago, we pastors can help you get you started. We can help you get you pointed in the right direction. But we are trained in short-term counseling only. We are not long-term counselors. That's why we refer people to those that you see listed on the screen. We cannot strongly encourage you enough to make the connection, to find the trusted people to process your trauma just like Paul did. We need to acknowledge the trauma. We process it with others. That is the first step as we seek healing from trauma in our own lives. We are wounded. We require others. We require community to heal. Second thing Paul does and we need to do, we prayerfully take our trauma to God. We take it to God. We cry out. We lament. We complain. Paul does the very same thing in another chapter. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul mentions a thorn in the flesh. There's something he deals with that bothers him for his whole life, and he is never more specific than that. He's got some kind of thorn in his flesh that bothers him over and over and over again. And theologians have debated forever on what this is. It seems to me the most likely thing is his eyesight. There are other letters that Paul writes, and Paul has a scribe write most of the letter, and then towards the end of the letter, he takes the pen, writes in his own hand, and it's very different, the script is odd, and it seems like Paul might be losing his eyesight, losing his ability to write. And if it isn't indeed the case that his thorn in the flesh is Paul losing his eyesight, it's a fascinating connection because his whole journey with Jesus starts with him losing his eyesight for 3 days. I'm not quite sure what the tie-in there is, but I find that incredibly fascinating. Now, it seems to me that most of us, we've all got some kind of a thorn. We all have something we wished we didn't have in this life. That's your thorn. Paul writes about his, "I pleaded with the Lord 3 times three times for it to leave me alone. Now, this was not he prayed three times one night or he prayed once a day for 3 days. This was likely Paul digging in for three long seasons of prayer, that he prayed about this thing ongoing over and over again over multiple seasons and did not see a change. It tells us that it takes time for us to be healed or to see progress. This does not happen overnight. It takes time and sustained ongoing prayer for us to see progress in healing from our trauma. We must not beat up ourselves when we don't feel better immediately after talking to a counselor once or praying about it to a counselor or to God once. This is not a quick journey. Now notice, Paul doesn't blame God for the thorn. Instead, Paul takes this thorn to God, and Paul prays and begs and pleads for it to be taken away. This is the same way we take our hurt to God. We take our hurt to God, our trauma, over and over and over again. Unload on God. God, why did this have to happen to me? Why did you let this happen to me, God, when you could have stopped it? God, this is not my fault. I don't know what to do. I don't even know how to heal. You can be always and forever completely honest with God in prayer. Don't hold back. God can take it. Cast your cares upon God. We know God cares for all of us. God cares for you. Paul writes, I pleaded with the Lord three times for it to leave me alone. God said to me, my grace is enough for you because power is made perfect in weakness. So I'll gladly spend my time bragging about my weaknesses so that Christ's power can rest on me. It's very possible in the thing that you hate the most, in the thing you struggle with the most, your thorn in your life, you will best discover God's power and presence in it. Paul wraps it up by saying, okay, this thorn isn't going away, so I'm going to brag in my weakness. I'm going to brag in my weakness so you can see this is Christ's power in me. I delight in my hardships, Paul says, that list we saw before. I delight in my hardships and persecutions and difficulties so you can see this is not me doing it. It is Jesus in me. That is an incredible statement of faith. Take whatever it is your thorn is to God, friends. Give it over to God over and over again. Even if God doesn't take it away, God's grace is what you need. God's grace is what you need. It's enough. God's grace is healing and restorative. As you seek to process your trauma with God, know that nothing can change your past, but God can absolutely heal your broken heart. Nothing can change your past, friends, but God can absolutely heal your broken heart. We process our pain of our trauma with trusted people. We prayerfully take it to God. And this last one, just so you know, depending upon where you are as you are healing, you are not ready for this yet. For some of us, it will make us angry and mad, and that's okay. Set this one aside for later. The third and final way we seek healing from our trauma is we pursue purpose. Now again, if you're hurting and you're processing in the middle of it, this is not for you, this is for later. But at some point after you process your trauma, as you take it to God, you might find yourself again in a place like Paul. The same Paul who's been beaten, shipwrecked, he's been stoned and left for dead and whipped too many times to count. Paul writes, may the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be blessed. He is compassionate Father and God of all comfort. He is the one who comforts us in our troubles so we can comfort other people who are in every kind of trouble. We offer the same comfort that we ourselves have received from God. The God who comforts us with compassion so we can have purpose in our pain. God is not the author of our pain or how other people choose to traumatize us. Get that out of your head once and for all. God is not the cause of everything that happens under the sun. God, however, can bring redemption and healing and purpose to anything that happens to us. God can absolutely bring beauty out of the ashes of our lives. God does not cause everything, but God can absolutely redeem anything. Absolutely anything. Now, the feedback we've heard from you in this series confirms what we've been hearing and studying and reading. The vast majority of us, we are not okay. We are hurt. We are frustrated more easily, angry more easily, more critical. We're more dissatisfied. There's a sense that something is not right. Something has happened. Over the past few years, our normal has been severely disrupted. We all have trauma. We have pain and loss of loved ones, loss of freedom, of trust, and loss of relationships. We seem to have one disagreement with our family or friends, and then all of a sudden, they've broken off with us. They can't be around us anymore. It's time to take seriously our trauma and address it with God and trusted people. Because, friends, not only can you be healed, you can also be stronger. God can and does work all things, even our most painful and broken moments, works them to the good of those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. It is true. It is absolutely true. But when we are ready to hear it, feel it, and apply it. The challenge for all of us this week, it's to absorb a tough truth. It's to absorb a hard truth. Your trauma may or may not have been your fault, but pursuing God for your healing is your responsibility. Your trauma may or may not have been your fault, but pursuing God for your healing is your responsibility. You've got to do it. Yes, we've been hurt, we've been wounded, we've been traumatized. Now it's time to seek healing. Now it's time to seek healing and strength through Jesus with trusted people and professionals who know what they're doing, who've got your best interests at heart. We have a good God. We have a good God who wants the best for you to heal your wounds and to heal your trauma. We must acknowledge it. We must process it. We must take our trauma to God. And when we're ready, when we can feel it, when we can hear it, we pursue purpose. Let's find the healing God wants for all of us as we share in Holy Communion today. I invite you to bow your heads and pray as we prepare. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, so many of us have experienced hurts, trials, and trauma. Sometimes our pain is visible, and sometimes, often it is personal and it is private. So we ask you to help. Please help us heal from our trauma and experience your presence. Your healing presence in the midst of our healing. May we seek out trusted people. May we find the trusted people to experience the wholeness of life you desire for each and every one of us. As we prepare ourselves to receive Holy Communion, we confess. There were times this last week we didn't love you, God, with our whole hearts, and we didn't love our neighbors completely like we would love ourselves. So God, as those times comes to our mind eye where we fell short, where we missed opportunities, where we sinned, God, we confess those to you now in this moment of silent prayer. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for forgiving us each and every time we ask. May your spirit empower us to go into a new week, seeing the opportunities to love our neighbors as ourselves, and may we be bold enough and courageous enough to take them as they arrive. We lift up all the prayers spoken and unspoken to you today. We pray together in the way Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.